Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we consider the book of Jude and its challenge to contend for the faith. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Thanks so much for staying engaged and being involved. A good way that you could help us, honestly, is if you wouldn't mind just sharing, get the word out, especially now that we're at the beginning of a new book. If you could invite a friend or two to hear the podcast, that would be helpful. Our goal, simply, is to get as many people as possible in the Word of God every day. We just know that the Word of God makes a difference, and so that would be a blessing. Another way that you could kind of fertilize that is if you would be willing to leave a review. I know it takes time, I know you're busy, but would you just kind of mark that down and take some time to just leave a review? Because that's going to drive people to the podcast, and that would be a great help. So thank you in advance to those of you that are willing to do that. Andrew Day is back with us in the studio, and we are in the book of Jude. Andrew, I just got to thinking, we've spent 2 days already in the book of Jude, and we've completed one verse.
We're going at a real quick pace right here.
It's like this might be the slowest pace I've ever chosen, but we kind of talked about this going into this study, that because Jude is a shorter book in the Bible and it's just really straight doctrine. It's like eating a piece of beef jerky, right? It's like straight protein, and we don't want to hurry through it. We want to understand. So I think that in the first two episodes, we've had the opportunity to introduce you, our audience, to Jude, the author, and then to the biblical audience, those that are sanctified, preserved, and called. So now we're in verse number 2, and the Bible says, "Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied." So Andrew, in Bible days, the standard greeting was grace and peace. You see that in many of the epistles, certainly in the Pauline epistles. Here, Jude says, "Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied." So three pretty big and powerful words. What do you make of this introduction?
I see that really as the human penman Jude is pointing his audience towards what they're going to need to deal with the issues that they're handling, to understand that as this is really a book that points a lot to judgment. So it's interesting that the first word that he decides to come up with and draw attention to is mercy. There's warfare in some ways going on in the church as we see contend for the faith starts to come up, and he uses the word peace. And here are people who are bringing in something that's really even distorting what love is, and he opens with the word love.
So, great thoughts. And I think the issue, and I love that thought. And I think the issue is that believers, if we're not careful, will adopt an attitude that matches our circumstance or matches our situation. So when people are kind to us, then we're kind to them. When the world kind of allows us to worship freely and to do our thing as local churches, then we are at peace because it's a political climate of peace. But Jude was writing at a time when Christianity was being intensely persecuted. And we talked just privately, you and I, Andrew, we talked about, you know, what's the date for the writing of Jude? I lean toward Jude writing at the same time as Peter was writing his epistles, certainly 2 Peter, times following, during, and then following Nero, when Christianity was just being plastered by the Romans. In many cases, Christians were viewed as the reason for the economic woes of society. One of the reasons why Paul, the poster child for Christianity, was made such a public example in execution was because they were trying to pin the economic woes on Christianity. So through no fault of their own, Christians are being intensely persecuted.
Peter is a perfect example of that, as you just mentioned too, because he dies probably in that same period, AD 66, AD 67, right around the writing of probably Jude as well, from everything that we can tell. So if there's a great example of how difficult of a climate is, we can even just look at Peter with that.
The parallel book to the book of Jude is the book of 2 Peter. You see some of the same themes uncovered. So it would be logical to put them in the same time frame. And back to your point, though, Andrew, and that is with all of the unrest around them, not just political unrest, not just physical unrest, but there's theological unrest. So they're being attacked from without, but there's also a pretty strong attack from within, from legalists, from Judaizers, from syncretists, those that would seek to somehow incorporate secular philosophy with biblical teaching to create some kind of a pop psychological approach to spiritual truth. They're dealing with all of this, and yet the Bible imperative remains, and that is that we can be people who are guided by mercy, people that are guided by peace, people that are motivated by love. The external situations around us do not have to define the realities that are within us.
And we always have that true spiritual reality that we can reflect back on. Talking with our high schoolers this last year, a major place we focused on was the Beatitudes. And focusing on the blessed life in a lot of ways is focusing on the fact that my spiritual realities are in so many ways more real than my present circumstances. Whatever I may look at and not like a situation that happens to me at work, something happens to my car and it's not working the right way. Regardless, everything is settled with God. Regardless, those benefits that come with my salvation aren't going anywhere. And it's amazing to think that in the midst of whatever I may be going through, I can still focus myself, my gaze back on Christ.
Yeah, really, really good word. Look at verse number 3 as Jude begins in earnest the subject matter about which he will speak. He says, beloved. So interesting that he defined them theologically as the sanctified, the preserved, and the called. That is their position, their identity before the Lord. And it's important that we understand our identity as believers. We are strangers. We are pilgrims. We are not of this world. But then Jude, and this is highly personal, looks at his audience and says, beloved. And therein lies a great principle. And that is, as difficult matters are discussed, as some necessary rebukes are given, it's in the context of a spiritual leader who understands who they are, who is praying for their richest spiritual benefits, that's verse 2, but who loves them, who loves them. I know it sounds trite, but people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And here's a man that loves his audience and communicates that before he gives them any of the subject matter.
Many times when you see the word beloved, you see the passion and the hurt in the human penman. They hurt because they see how that error is impacting those who they're communicating with. And I think we start to see that a little bit with Jude. He hurts because he sees the way that they're being impacted and the way they're being attacked. And he hurts for them because he wants what's best for them.
Paul extended this metaphor a little bit more deeply when he wrote to the Corinthians. He said, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is opened unto you, our heart is enlarged. Then he said, you're not straitened in your own bowels. And that's kind of a weird way to say it today, because we don't use the old English word bowels in the same sense anymore. What he meant was, hey, we have a big heart toward you, but you have a narrow heart toward us. You kind of have a stenosis of your spiritual heart. You know, you're not loving. So what's Paul saying? Paul's saying, I love you, and that therefore I'm opening my mouth to say some things that you don't want to hear, that you need to hear. I see the same sense here in Jude.
And it's that iron sharpening. You have to have the right attitude to be a iron sharpening friend, but you also have to be willing to receive that correction. It's a two-way street where we're not unnecessarily harsh, but at the same end, if we're the ones receiving it, we have to be ready to receive some rebuke, some things that we need to grow in as well ourselves.
Well, 100%. So, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So, and we might disagree on this, Andrew. I really don't know what your view is on verse 3, but let's talk about it and see where this where this comes out. I personally believe that what Jude was saying here was, I wanted to write this letter, but this truth was more important, so I wrote this letter. Would that be your take?
Definitely. He really wants to get something across to them, but there's something more pressing, more urgent. Hey, I really wanted to talk about this, but hey, we really got to talk about this now.
And have you ever had a leader in your life? I'm talking to you audience members right now. Have you ever had somebody in your life that said, hey, listen, we got to have an uncomfortable conversation? They don't want to have the conversation. They would rather talk about things that you both agree on, the things that are fun to talk about, things that are going to be cause for rejoicing. And Jude had a love for God. He had a love for the truths of God. He had a love for the commonly accepted truths of salvation. So he said, man, I really wanted to write this letter about our common salvation, means for rejoicing, ways to encourage one another, but there was something much more pressing and needful for you. And I was willing to say the hard thing over and above the accepted and agreed upon thing.
I feel this a little bit when maybe I want to have a good time with a teenager, someone in my class, be able to talk about sports or something like that, but there's something that hasn't been turned in, maybe an assignment, maybe somebody is acting a way they shouldn't in class, and you have to address it, even though that's not something that I want to dwell on. That's not something I want to focus on. It's not something that I enjoy, but it has to be addressed.
It does. And we're going to talk about the rationale for that next episode, because Jude not only says, this is what I wanted to do, this is what I did do, but then he said, and here's the reason I did do this. And so I want us to dive a little bit more deeply into what was the motivator for Jude to write a letter that would be hard to receive, a letter that the reader is going to shrink back from, humanly speaking, to say, I don't like this. And yet it was something that Jude felt absolutely compelled to do under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But you'll have to wait till tomorrow, my friends, to get there, or next episode, I should say. And we'll still be here, and we're looking forward to diving back into verse number 3. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.